You know, conflict is not something we should fear. It's a natural way to resolve things. If we agree 100% of the time, it means that we're not progressing anywhere because we're all thinking alike, thinking the same things, and it just means that we're going backwards. So I think that when we're respectfully disagreeing and making sure we explain what we do agree on and where we do think alike, and then share our own point of view, it creates a better environment, a safe environment for everyone to express their opinions and be able to speak up without fearing that there will be consequences.
Welcome to Management Development Unlocked, where you will learn how to nurture a world-class management team. And now your host, Eric Girard.
Hello and welcome back to Management Development Unlocked. I am overjoyed that you are here. I'm Eric Girard and I'm the CEO of Girard Training Solutions, which is a management development firm that focuses on helping new managers transform from being great individual contributors to great people managers. And I also have an Amazon number one best-selling book called Lead Like a Pro, The Essential Guide for New Managers. And this show, as of today, has over 2,000 listeners and is a global top 10% podcast. Today, I'm delighted to have Heli Nehama Ozeri with me. Heli, welcome to the show. Who are you and what do you do?
Thank you, Eric. So happy to be here today. So my name is Heli Nehama Ozeri. I'm the founder of Artemis Organizational Development, a consulting firm based in Silicon Valley. And over the past 15 years, I've been working with global companies to help them elevate performance and productivity while fostering employee growth. I'm very passionate about making learning experiential and helping people have those aha moments. And I also train trainers and learning experts on how to do the same thing.
That is awesome. We have a lot in common, so I'm excited to dig in and have a conversation.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Well, today, you and I are going to be talking about balancing friendships and management, the challenges that new managers face when they enter their new role. And this is something that happened to me when I became a manager. It happens a lot where folks are promoted from a team. Let's say you're on a team of three or four people, and you know all these people really, really well, and then you're the one that gets promoted. How do you manage those new dynamics? So that's what we're going to talk about here. Yeah. And my first question is one about a personal experience that you had. So can you share a personal experience from your own journey as a new manager when you had to navigate that dynamic between friendships and leadership roles in your team?
Yeah, well, it actually happened a lot of times during my career. The first time it happened was when I was about 18 years old. I was a new commander in the military, and one of my best friends became one of my soldiers. And it was very weird because I was very young, did not have a lot of experience. So it was very awkward to really navigate the relationship and understand where our relationship ends and where do I start being her commander. And it actually affected our friendship a bit, but I think it also made it stronger throughout time. And we stayed friends even after it. And it really helped me prepare to what's coming because it happened to me again and again and again throughout my career, from managing colleagues to managing very, very good and close friends of mine. So eventually, after having all of those experiences, I really feel I understand what it means to truly navigate those two hats that leaders have, the manager hat and the friend's hat, and how to move between the two in a natural way.
That's excellent, because that's a tough nut to crack. That's very difficult. So I'm glad that you figured it out. All right.
Yeah, it took a lot of blood and tears, and right, but it happened eventually.
Yeah, I'm glad. Good. Well, what are the common challenges that new managers typically face when they're managing former peers or friends? So let's double click on that.
Yeah, so many challenges. I think it really depends if you're a people pleaser or not. So for people pleasers, I think it's much more difficult because they struggle to establish authority. And also they sometimes hesitant on delegating responsibilities. They don't want to impose. They don't want to create conflict. And sometimes they end up doing more themselves and getting burned out. And I think that another challenge that new managers might have, even if they're not people pleasers, is when you're managing peers that have competed for the same role as you did, and then it can create difficulties in the workplace dynamic. So I think there are entering a new leadership role is difficult in general when you need to manage your peers or colleagues, friends. It's even more difficult.
Yeah, and I had a situation where not only was I managing a former peer, but my boss, as soon as I got promoted, so my boss comes to me and says, you said you wanted a management role. Are you ready for it now? And I said, yes. And he says, good. Okay, you're going to lead your team, the team that you're on. You're now going to be promoted over the other two people. I said, great. I accept. And I said, okay, great. And by the way, one of them has been a troublemaker and I want you to lay him off. I was like, are you kidding? And to make it even worse, as if that wasn't bad enough, to make it even worse, no documentation had been done. Nothing had been, you know, done in terms of documenting this person's bad behavior or bad performance. So I had to start that from the beginning. And I spent more time in the company's legal counsel's office, like going over this. It was terrible. So I hope that that doesn't happen to anybody who's listening. And if it does, all I can say is you're going to become very good friends with legal counsel to figure that one out.
Yeah, I'm sure it was very hard. And it sounds like you didn't have a lot of empathy from your manager in dealing with all of this. So it's even maybe, you know, when you don't have the support system, it's even harder.
Yeah, it was very much kind of getting that task thrown over the fence at me. And it was not fair. Not a bit. Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about how managers can address the challenges that we just talked about. So let's leave firing somebody off the table for the moment. But everything else that you just brought up, like how can managers be most effective in dealing with those challenges of managing a friend or a peer?
Yeah. So I think that there are two main things. One is to understand that when you're managing friends or colleagues, you're actually wearing two hats. One is the manager hat and one is the friend hat. And when you don't try to put two hands together at the same time, you're probably at a better place. Because the problems usually start when you try to be a friend and a manager at once. But you can't really do that. You really need to separate the two. So when you're acting as a manager, your main focus is on your duties, not on being the friend. So, and I think it's also about remembering that you were chosen for this role for a reason. So it's really important to really understand that while I'm a manager with the manager hat, I need to fill my duties and do whatever I need to do to generate business results and balance between organizational needs and individual needs. And when I'm a friend, I can put on my friend's hat and engage in the same conversations I always had with my friends. Just make sure that when we start talking about work, and we might because we work in the same place, it means that I might need to change my hats in the middle of the conversation. And it's also okay to mention it. It's okay, now I'm talking from the manager hat. Now I'm talking from a friend's hat. And when the communication is open and clear like that, usually there are less troubles. And I think the other thing that is very important is, and this took me some time to understand, so I feel it in my body. When someone is a really good friend of yours, they will not put you in an uncomfortable position. They just won't do it. They will do whatever in their power to help you and support you. And you will do the same for them. So when a colleague or a friend puts you in an awkward position, it means that they're not acting as friends. So it's entirely appropriate to switch to your managerial hat and do whatever it is that you need to do because they put you in this position, not you. So it's very legitimate for you to do whatever you need to do to make things work.
That reminds me of a situation that I'm in right now with my company, where one of my contractors, I don't have employees, I have contractors. Mm-hmm. One of my contractors is also my oldest friend. And when I say oldest friend, I mean, we met in 1986. So we're going way back. And we have so many shared experiences and we can make each other laugh without saying anything. But when we decided to work together, we had a special conversation and said, look, you know, what's most important here is the friendship. And if we start to get on each other's nerves, if this isn't working, then we will part ways professionally and save the friendship. And we've been working together now for years and it's fine. And we do wear different hats. So during the workday, you know, from 8 a.m. until 5 p.m., when we're talking with each other, we're very friendly colleagues. But I'm the boss and he is my contractor. And I never call him after hours to talk about work. If I want to just chat and see how he's doing and talk about his family, I wait until after dinner. And then we talk and then all the insults can come out and all the things that we do, that's all fair game. And we don't talk about work. So there's time that helps. And then there's also, you know, just the fact that, you know, we're wearing these different hats. And the longer we've worked together, the better I've gotten. And even changing the way I greet him in an email, just something as simple as hi versus hey. So, you know, when I'm Bill's friend addressing him in an email, it's hey man or worse. But when I need something from him professionally, it's hi.
Yeah.
Just little cues that say I'm in business mode and I'm going to treat you respectfully as my colleague, my friendly colleague, somebody who I can rely on no matter what, but still my colleague.
I love that. I think it's so important to have very clear boundaries between work and friendship. And when the boundaries are clear for you, they're clear for everyone else. And I love that even, you know, working hours are different and the way you address him in an email or the way you talk to him is different when you're working and when you're friends, you know, interacting in a friendship manner. And then you don't have this confusion. The problem starts when we confuse friendship and leadership. Mm-hmm. So when the boundaries are clear, everything works better. It doesn't mean we don't have challenges. It's always challenging to be a leader. And it's sometimes challenging to be a friend. But it's even more challenging when we mix the two.
Yeah. Yeah. Clear boundaries and setting those up front. You know, in my case, we had a specific conversation about it. And we've never had to have that conversation again. But I would, you know, if either one of us crossed a line and assumed too much or said the wrong thing, then I would, you know, take him aside and say, hey, you know, we need to revisit. Haven't had to do that. I've been very lucky. So no worries.
Yeah, that's another great point too. When something doesn't work well, don't wait. Don't wait until it becomes bigger than it has to be. You can address it immediately and then you can just solve it because you're friends. So no worries.
Yeah, actually, my listeners know that I love to scuba dive and I teach scuba. Last weekend, I was teaching scuba in the Puget Sound and I led the first dive and with a dive master. So the dive master is my assistant. But in this case, the dive master has more experience than I do. It's just that they've chosen not to become an instructor. Hmm. So the first dive went fine. Second dive went fine, no comments. Next morning, we get ready for the third dive and the dive master and I take a walk and she says, oh, by the way, buddy, we need to have a talk. And she's like, you violated standards. You did this. You made a mistake. Do you know you made that mistake? And do you know that's a rule? So we had this conversation and her voice was shaking. Like she did not want to have this conversation, but it was her duty to have the conversation. And so I was like, oh, wow, thank you so much. I didn't realize, you know, so I will not do that again. Thank you. And she actually apologized to me after she was done telling me, you know, what I'd done wrong and what to do about it next time. She apologized, which I thought was kind of funny because she was doing what was necessary, you know, and we're friendly, you know, we're not buds. We don't hang out, but we're friendly. We like each other. And she put on the the professional diver hat and said, listen, you made this mistake and it can't happen again. I was like, oh, okay. Well, you know, thank you. So that was an example of when somebody who is, you know, your friend or your ally at least needs to put on that hat, it's important that they do so early.
Yeah. And I'm actually, you know, if maybe she wasn't so afraid of it, she could have told you, you know, the exact same thing right after the practice, right? Why did she have to wait until maybe it happened in the first dive and then you could have corrected it to the second dive, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's something that she could have even said to me in sign language. We need to go up a little bit. Up a little bit. Oh, okay. Got it. Yeah, but she waited. But what I'm crediting her for is that she didn't wait too long.
Yeah.
And she didn't go around me. She didn't go and tell our boss. She came to me directly and said, that was a boo-boo. You can't do it again. It's like, oh, okay, great. Well, I got it. Thank you. No harm, no foul. And I will go review the standards tonight to make sure I don't do that again. So it was good.
Yeah, I think it's a very good example on how sometimes as new leaders, when we don't have the right tools to address issues like this, we postpone the conversation that we perceive as difficult, but they don't have to be difficult. Mm-hmm. And then it can damage performance, right? Mm-hmm. Because if you violated anything and someone would have gotten hurt, she wouldn't have felt right about it because she had the knowledge. You made a mistake and because you didn't know it, right? So we have a responsibility as leaders to gain the tools we need to give the feedback we need to give and overcome whatever it is we need to overcome to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're exactly right. Well, let's talk a little bit about competition between peers. So in cases where team members have competed for the same role and one was chosen as the manager, how can the new manager foster a positive and collaborative team culture despite the potential or probably realistic feelings of resentment or disappointment among team members? And spoiler alert, I've had this happen where I didn't in another company where I didn't get chosen. I was pretty upset.
Oh, okay. Interesting. I would love to hear about it more.
All right. I will tell you.
So I think that the first thing we need to remember is that empathy is key. If you show that you understand their situation, their disappointment, and express it in a direct way, they will feel more seen and heard, and it might lower some of the emotions and resentment that they might have. And after doing so, if you clearly articulate your expectations and on the other hand, understand their aspirations, wants, needs, and provide support to help them develop the skills they need to get it next time, then you have a better chance of creating a great work environment because you need to make sure your boundaries are clear, your expectations are clear. And if it's violated, you need to make sure to, you know, to say it, speak up. But you need to make sure you give the other side all of the tools, all of the empathy you need and balance between empathy and helping them and having clear boundaries and limitations.
Yep. Yeah, that's important. And I experienced that as well. It was really interesting. When I was working for a very large software company in Silicon Valley, I knew that there were at least two of us competing for the role of team manager. And I knew the other person who was competing. And in my head, I had said to myself, if Tim gets the manager role, I could totally work for him. And unbeknownst to me, he was saying the same thing about me. He thought it was just he and I that were competing. So we just thought it was two of us in the race, right?
Yeah.
So then our boss pulls me into her office and said, I just want to let you know that you were not selected. And instead, the role was given to Barbara. And my initial response was, Barbara? Like, now this person who I'm protecting the innocent, This person was significantly younger than me, significantly less experienced in the workplace than me. But they'd been at this company a lot longer than me. And so that and some other reasons is why they got chosen. But I was like, okay, this person can be my little sister. Like, this is going to be really, really hard. And it turned out it was a really bumpy relationship because I couldn't get over the fact that I was blindsided, that there was a third person in the race I didn't know about. And their management style was just so different from what I would have wanted or done myself that it made it really, really rough.
Yeah. What was missing in your eyes in her leadership style?
Consistency. Like, I remember we all got together. So everybody flew in together to one of the offices, and we had a team planning session. And the new manager wrote an agenda out on a whiteboard and said, this is what we're going to talk about. So we're going to do these things. And we're like, yeah, okay, that's good. And then as we're talking, as the meeting's going on, she's literally erasing things off the whiteboard and substituting other things. And that was how she managed us as well. It was like, what are you doing? Like, we were here to talk about these three things, and you've kapwing gone way off over here. Something else that she did that this might be my own personal thing. One of the things that this person did was we would schedule one-on-ones. And to get started, I had requested weekly one-on-ones until we got into a pattern. And she would cancel half of them, like right before they were supposed to happen. You know, at 2:50, I would get a cancellation for a one-on-one that was supposed to happen at 3. Or I remember one time she showed up 20 minutes late to a one-on-one with no note, no text saying, hey, I'm sorry, I'm stuck in another meeting. Just nothing. And I just sat there waiting for 20 minutes. So that made me feel really disrespected. It made me feel like I didn't matter. And that hurt a lot. That really hurt my feelings and got me upset because I'm like, well, wait a minute. I'm a professional. I need to be treated like a professional. And this is not treating me like a professional. This is treating me like a servant or a child. And I don't deserve that. So that was really difficult.
Yeah, it sounds very difficult. I think that having a manager like this that you feel like you need to manage is difficult in general, but if having her be younger and in your eyes less experienced than you even makes it harder because you're always thinking to yourself, I could have done it better, right? So it adds like resentment, and it's totally understandable, right? So sometimes when you enter a new leadership role and you need to manage colleagues, you might be less experienced than them. And it's on you to make sure that you step up and you do whatever you need to do to gain the skills you need and ask for help, ask for support from your managers, from L&D, from HR to help you because they chose you. So you need to get the support you need and you know, level up.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say build trust as soon as you can. Just something as simple as do what you say you will do. Just meet your commitments to begin with. Like if you say you're going to be in a meeting, be at that meeting on time.
Definitely.
Yep.
Show respect, right? If you want to be respected, you need to show respect.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I've got one final question for you, and that's about harmony, which I think is very important in teams. Conflict is totally expected and normal, but I think overall we want teams that can do conflict well because they fundamentally trust each other. Mm-hmm. So can you provide examples of successful strategies or best practices that new managers have employed to create a harmonious work environment despite initial challenges related to friendships and competition for leadership roles?
Yeah, it really relates to what we just talked about. I think that you know, conflict is not something we should fear. It's a natural way to resolve things. If we agree 100% of the time, it means that we're not progressing anywhere because we're all thinking alike, thinking the same things. And it just means that we're going backwards. So I think that when we're respectfully disagreeing and making sure we explain what we do agree on and where we do think alike, and then share our own point of view, it creates a better environment, a safe environment for everyone to express their opinions and be able to speak up without fearing that there will be consequences. Mm-hmm. And I also think that when you start out as a new manager, it's hard and it's unclear to you what kind of a manager you want to be. Like people ask you, what's your vision? I'm like, okay, I'm 20. I'm a leader for the first time in my life. I don't have a vision, right? So I have this tip to help new managers really understand or start to understand what kind of a manager they want to be. And it's answering a simple question. If your role as a leader was an animal or an object, what would it be? And when you think about it, it helps you get out of your logical brain into your creative brain and really think about your role from a different perspective. For example, one leader told me that she was an octopus. Mm-hmm. She felt like she needed to do so many things at the same time. But then we talked about what's the cost of it when you try to do everything. What's the cost? Are you really an octopus? Do you want to be an octopus, or are you right now an octopus, right? Mm-hmm. Or another leader shared that she was a locomotive, right? She was, and I asked her, okay, is it a one that is electrical? And she said, no, I need to put coal inside and I feel like I'm doing it alone and I need to build the rail. And okay, so is that kind of a leader? Do you want to be that kind of a leader, or do you want the team to do it with you? So just know that when you're starting a new role, it will take you time to understand your role perception, your vision, and you need to give yourself time. But on the other hand, start thinking about it, reflect on it, make sure you address it, and don't just, you know, go about your days and just, you know, and neglect it. Because you need to revisit this question every once in a while. And mm-hmm. of course, get help, get assistance. It doesn't always come natural, and it's okay.
Awesome. Cool. Well, thank you. Well, let's transition now and talk about you. And I'd love it if you'd tell us a little bit about your leadership development program for organizations.
Yeah, so leadership, as I mentioned, is a challenge. And the way I see it, there's no one size fits all. It always has to be very tailored to the specific needs of the organization, of the leadership style, of the voice and tone of the organization. So my leadership development programs are usually very focused on giving, you know, solution to specific needs in the specific organizations. It usually is very experiential. We take about 50% of the time to role play and exercise, just because understanding what I need to do and actually doing it are two different things. So it's very experiential, very science-based, and it just generates results. So,
excellent. Cool. Well, in a second, we're going to find out how people can find you. But that was just a marvelous conversation, Helly. So I really appreciate your time. Love all the insights that you gained, that you provided. Excuse me. Okay. Tell us how we can find you. If we want to learn more about you or about your programs, how do we find you?
Two main places. One is LinkedIn. You can search Helly Nehama Ozeri. Or hop onto my website, www.artemisod.com. And you'll find everything you need there.
Perfect. Great. Well, hey, thanks for listening, everybody. Please subscribe to the show and connect with me on LinkedIn as well. Pick up my book, Lead Like a Pro, The Essential Guide for New Managers. It's available on Amazon in paperback, Kindle, and audiobook. If you'd like to chat about how I can help you or your new managers, please drop me a line via my website, which is gerardtrainingsolutions.com. We will catch you on the next one. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Management Development Unlocked. Want more? Get a ton of insider tips and tools at gerardtrainingsolutions.com.